Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is Oklahoma Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell. In addition to serving as the president of the state Senate and in the governor's stead when he's out of state or out of the country, the lieutenant governor is also the state's first secretary of tourism and branding, a new position created by Governor Kevin Stitt's reorganization of the state executive branch. The position was split off from the former secretary of commerce and tourism position. As part of that position, Pinnell has led an effort to create a new state brand, which was unveiled on Wednesday. Imagine That is the work of his Okla X branding group, featuring marketing and creative leaders throughout the state. The idea behind the rebranding is to change perceptions of the state by emphasizing little-known positive attributes of Oklahoma, and to boost tourism to the state as well as business and talent relocation. And in a bitter disappointment to Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma is no longer OK. OKGov is no more. As a part of the rebranding, the official state website for all offices will be oklahoma.gov. Joining me today, Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell, to talk about the new state brand, Imagine That. Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. It's my honor to be here.
Why does the state need a new brand?
You know, I guess I would really say we didn't have a brand. We
Native
really,
America?
Well, that was part of a tourism campaign in some ways, but we really don't have a uniform logo. We didn't have a uniform tagline like some states do have. And, you know, if we don't define who we are as a state, 49 other states will define it for us. And no doubt our Native American history is part of that brand. We're one of the most, if not the most diverse state in the country in both our landscape and in our people. Yes, 39 sovereign nations inside of one state, but thriving African-American community, Hispanic communities, Korean communities. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about that diversity. And so what we really were trying to accomplish with the brand is telling a better story, a more positive story. Are there things we need to fix at the state capitol? Of course there are. But we need to be addressing the brand at the same time.
Give us an example of how other states consider their brands. How important is it to them? Because you don't see a lot about branding.
Sure, sure. You know, Colorado was when we kind of did best practice work. Colorado and unfortunately the state to the south of us, Texas, I have to put on the good list as well. There's a lot of state pride down there. They spend a lot of money marketing their state, inviting people to their state. Colorado just did a rebrand a couple years ago. Some of it is a better user experience for taxpayers. So at oklahoma.gov, it's not ok.gov anymore because we're done saying we're just OK. You can still go to ok.gov. It will redirect you to oklahoma.gov. It doesn't take you 20 clicks to buy a license anymore in the state. You know, it's uniform branding through government agencies. It's just more professional. People know they're on an actual government website now. You know, that's just blocking and tackling that any state should be doing. And I don't think we've done that for a very long time. So that's also a big part of this brand.
How important do you think a brand is for Oklahoma?
I think a brand is critical. When we talk about retaining or recruiting talent to the state, we have to make sure that, again, we're telling our story across the state, across the country, and across the world. Again, how we are perceived, whether positive or negative, affects companies looking at the state of Oklahoma. And so we need to make sure that, again, we're tackling policy changes at the same time that we are projecting a much better welcome mat for the state.
I suppose this is most important to attract visitors, but also business?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly tourism will use this, but I'm a little more sensitive to the commerce play here. We have to create more private sector jobs in the state of Oklahoma. We have 4 million people in the state. Texas has 28 million. So there's your difference. That's a whole lot more people buying a house in Texas, paying property taxes. And if you pay property taxes, you support local public schools. That's how it works. And so ultimately, for us to be top 10 in all the good areas, we got to create more jobs. And we have to be listening to our current citizens, retain the jobs that we have first, and then recruit more. And I think a brand in a state certainly affects that job growth.
Now, when I think of a brand, I'm thinking of things like Virginia is for lovers,
right,
which I still don't understand.
Right.
But you know, when I'm making a decision to travel, I don't really think about the brand, and I'm not sure I even know the brand for like a state like Louisiana, which I like to travel to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the brand for Colorado for that much, except for the license plate, which has been very iconic, which gives you a sense, hey, if I go to Colorado, I'm going to be in the mountains.
Right.
So Give us a sense of how you imagine that to sort of imprint on potential visitors.
Sure. A couple of great examples here. The Dallas and Houston airports, we certainly plan on doing advertising campaigns in those airports. I'm envisioning a sign as people leave that Dallas airport that says Oklahoma 20-minute commute. Imagine that. that's what we're getting at here. You know, number one new attraction in America. Imagine that from a tourism perspective. So it plays very nicely in both of those ways. There's a little bit of swagger to it as well. And so those are a couple examples of how it could be used. Hey, imagine that the American dream still does live. And it does. It lives right here in Tulsa. It lives right here in Oklahoma. Imagine that. Imagine starting your own business here. It can be used a whole lot of different ways.
Tell us about the process to come up with this brand.
Yeah, very unique. No state has really done a branding campaign the way that we've done it. We went out and we recruited 200 creative minds around the state of Oklahoma and brought them together and asked them for some public service. So we had about 200 volunteers broken off into about 9 different subcommittees. Now, we hired a firm to facilitate that effort. They provided no creative talent to the effort. They just facilitated it so that it didn't run off the tracks. It would have if we didn't have a professional facilitator. And so this wasn't a brand built by Oklahomans for Oklahoma. So because we chose to do it that way and didn't just go out and hire one firm millions and millions of dollars to tell us what our brand is, there certainly was a whole lot more work to it. But I'm really proud that we did it that way. I met certainly a whole lot of new people that have been very helpful for me. And again, to be able to say that it was built by 200 creative Oklahomans, I think is that there's a great story there.
How did you come up with the idea of Imagine That? I mean, can you talk about how that iteration became the brand?
Absolutely. You know, we did a lot of research. One of the things that shows up in the research, and we know this as Oklahomans, when people actually come to Oklahoma, get off our roads and bridges, and spend money in our communities, there's a wow factor. Most sentences start with, "I had no idea." And so we wanted to tap into the surprise factor of Oklahoma without saying the word surprise, because also through research, we found out that a lot of people don't like to be surprised. So, you know, we wanted to say the word surprise without saying the actual word. But we also wanted to tap into this. Again, the American dream still lives in Oklahoma. You can still realize that dream here. And so we wanted to play to that as well with the wording. We only wanted to have one or two words. I mean, a tagline usually loses a lot of strength when it's longer than that, unless it's very, very iconic. But we wanted it to be two words. And, you know, someone said, hey, you know, it kind of sounds like something Will Rogers would say, which I also think is very true. And there's a little bit of swagger to it. So we kept kind of just hovering around the word imagine, and then we kind of got to Imagine That. And it is something that it's hard to forget once you say it. Dinner conversations, you know, when about this. There's certainly positive and negative ways you can use any tagline, and it will be no different with Imagine That. But I even like the fact that it can be memed in a good way or a bad way. I could care less because if we're having a conversation in Oklahoma about the positive things and the barriers to growth, that's healthy. We should be having those conversations and being honest with ourselves as of the things that we should be fixing at the same time of the things that we should be highlighting.
Obviously, a brand is meant to change the image of the state. And I think for a lot of people outside of the state, when they think of Oklahoma, they think of natural disasters, floods and tornadoes. They think of Native Americans, and they think of oil.
Yes.
How do you want to change that image?
You know, the one word that comes to mind is diversity. And you mentioned Native American history. That's not going away, and we want to continue to highlight that. But to retain and recruit next generation talent, they want an inviting, diverse state. We got it. We absolutely have it right here in Oklahoma, and we don't talk enough about it. I mean, that's why the Tulsa Remote Program is working. When people came here, yes, George Kaiser helped with a $10,000 check, but they still wouldn't have come if they didn't come to Tulsa first and check the place out. And they saw it. They saw that we were diverse. They saw that they could make a difference here day one. And I think we've got to tap into that. And so the longevity of this, I think it there will be some longevity, and it will be a successful campaign if what you see in that mark, and it is colorful, it represents all the different ecosystems that we have in the state. There's a Native American feel to it. We play to the military with the chevrons that are in the mark, which is a huge benefit and something we should also be highlighting is our military strength in our state. If we tap into that, then I think it's going to be a very powerful logo, i.e. mark, for decades and decades to come.
My guest today is Oklahoma Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell. He's also the Secretary of Tourism and Branding, and the state has come out with a new brand. It's called Imagine That, which was unveiled on Wednesday, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Let's talk about the tourism side of that. You know, you've seen some tourism brands that have just really blown up. I'm thinking of Utah, where they started promoting their national parks to the point where they're saying, wait a minute, maybe we don't want that
many people here.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you going to use this on the tourism side?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a great example. We launched the Oklahoma Fishing Trail last year. We have the most diverse fishing in the country. Imagine that, from paddlefish to trout in the state of Oklahoma and everything in between. And more man-made lakes than any other state in the country as well. Imagine that. And so we weren't talking about it. And so we started this campaign, and we put a little bit of money behind it, advertising it. We created the grand slam of fishing. You catch five different species of fish. We mail you a little, hey, congratulations, you completed the grand slam of Oklahoma fishing. We're getting a 60-to-1 ROI on that fishing trail right now. It's just through the roof. We got Texans coming up, fishing on all of our lakes, and we take all their money, and then they go back to Texas. It's a beautiful thing. So that's one example of where this Imagine That campaign will be working. I can also tell you Route 66. We have more miles than any other state of the most famous road in the entire world. Imagine that, Route 66. The American experience that you can have on that road is as authentic as anything that we got in this country. And so you'll see that tagline used with that campaign and that road as well. Tulsa's all over Route 66. GT's just doing a fantastic job with it. And we're generating a whole lot of sales tax revenue because of it.
Of course, the state has not really invested in Route 66 in the past. Yeah. You anticipate that changing?
Oh, those days are over. As Secretary of Tourism, I have full control over that marketing budget. And I can tell you, we are now investing in Route 66 statewide. I was the first lieutenant governor to get all of the communities together for a stakeholder convention last December. We have a new Route 66 passport that's going to be coming out just specific for Oklahoma. I mean, we're talking about putting Route 66 robots out across our 400 drivable miles to kind of mark the route so that it's much more, there's a whole lot more directional signage. So we're all in at the statewide level now, and I'm partnering certainly with GT, David Holt in Oklahoma City, and all of our mayors across that 400 drivable miles. There is a whole lot more sales tax revenue that's going to be generated because we're all in at the statewide level, investing money in it, just like Tulsa is.
Earlier you were talking about the fishing grand slam and how tourists are coming up from Texas to get the fishing grand slam. But you know, when you're talking about a caravan of cars coming into the state, it's oftentimes towards our gaming facilities. Are you going to, right now, relations between the state and the gaming community is a little frayed, but are you going to utilize that as well?
You know, I talk with the tribes pretty much weekly when it comes to tourism. You know, the Chickasaw Nation has what they've dubbed the Adventure Road, the I-35 corridor that Tulsans don't know maybe as much about unless you travel that I-35 corridor. But they direct people off roads to the museum, the Sam Noble Museum in Norman, for example, where we can generate sales tax. I'm having conversations with the Cherokee Nation right here and Jennifer Lauren and about our film industry. And about specifically, you mentioned the casinos. If we can create, they have Get Native tours where they put people, they advertise inside their gaming facilities. You can take a trip, get in a van, and they'll take you down main streets that are around those casino operations. We want certainly to encourage as much of that as possible so that they are highlighting main streets, helping those small business owners along main streets in any of those sovereign nations so that we're generating sales tax. They understand that, and I'm trying to partner with them as much as we can on those efforts.
So with this new brand, Imagine That, what do you envision we're going to see that will attract new visitors to come to Oklahoma maybe for the first time?
You know, I mean, again, part of it is putting the money behind it. When we invite people to Oklahoma, we know they come. You know, the Pioneer Woman up in Pawhuska, you know, they have their own marketing budget and she has an international TV show. It's one of the hottest plays in the entire state. We generate a ton of sales tax revenue up there because of it, but it's because they're advertising. So we have more to see and do in Oklahoma. No state can match our heritage and our history. So it's all, you know, we make it harder than it has to be. If we just put money behind those authentic experiences, people will come. So that's the great thing and the great news. I'm not trying to turn Oklahoma into something that it's not. I just want to play to our strengths. If we just play to our strengths as a state, and tourism is one of those strengths, I think commerce creating a business here. It's easier here than it is Dallas. I can tell you that right now. But we got to tell that story from a marketing perspective, which means the brand. And if we put marketing dollars behind that brand in other states in creative ways with a little bit of swagger, then I think, again, we're going to get a whole lot more interest. It's getting really full down there to the south of us. And there's a whole lot of Oklahomans that relocated down there for a job that would love to come home, and we want to get them home.
You mentioned a lot of this brand was created through volunteer efforts from creative minds in the state, but you did use a consultant to facilitate. How much did this effort actually cost?
You know, around $200,000. And really the state's portion was only about $100,000, which is really unheard of. I mean, anybody that's done a branding campaign, I mean, heck, in a city, it's usually more than that. We had Mid-American Industrial Park contribute. We had the Chickasaw Nation contribute. We had the Oklahoma Business Roundtable contribute. So we had private dollars that were contributed to help us pay for that facilitator. They did not create any content, any creatively, but we knew that if we were going to have 200 people involved on 9 subcommittees, it was not going to be successful if we did not have a professional facilitator of that. And we didn't hire somebody from Oklahoma for that. Some people are knocking us for that. But listen, if I hired someone from Oklahoma, we wouldn't have gotten the buy-in from all the rest of the creatives in the state of Oklahoma. So I wanted an unbiased, someone not from the state of Oklahoma that had an expertise in doing this. And any of our Okla X members, as we dubbed them, you know, I said, hey, don't take my word for it. Go talk to them. They'll tell you this wouldn't have happened if we didn't have a professional facilitator.
I guess the beauty of the brand is you can tell a lot of different stories. So you've mentioned a few places where this brand will appear. Where will we be seeing the brand, and where will outsiders be seeing the brand?
Yeah, you know, the first place I would tell people to go is Oklahoma.gov. And if you were on Oklahoma.gov days ago versus today, you will see a night and day difference. It's so much more clean and easy to use, and we're really proud of it. So the user experience on Oklahoma.gov is much better. There are new Oklahoma welcome signs going up literally right now in the state of Oklahoma. So we will not have halfway falling over faded welcome signs that are bullet holed up. we will have new welcome signs. And again, that welcome mat, when you cross over the invisible line into the state of Oklahoma, now I hope you have minivans pulling over on the side of the road taking a selfie in front of it, because I assure you it wasn't happening before.
Well, I know some of the welcome signs, it's like it's brown stone and you don't even see it. You just drive by it.
Well, people refer to those as the welcome tombstones, which again, that's not good branding. So those will be changing as well. Those red rose tombstones, yeah, as people jokingly call them. So that'll be changing soon. That's part of the transformation. You'll see a rebrand at our welcome centers. We have millions and millions of people that visit our welcome centers every single day because this is the crossroads of America. That will be a change that you'll see. Uniform branding through all of our government agencies as well. The sky's the limit. I mean, we want businesses to implement it. You can go to travelok.com right now and buy merchandise. We want people wearing it all over the place. You know, the validation for me was my 14-year-old daughter put the sticker on her Yeti cup to take to Jinx at school. So if my 14-year-old daughter thinks it's cool, and that's who this brand is for.
Well, as you've seen other tourism campaigns, like Texas has a brilliant one which shows the beaches in the south, the mountains in the west, the cowboy image as well as the urban cowboy of Texas. Are you anticipating a major ad campaign to publicize, imagine that?
You know, we are. You know, unfortunately, in any state or in some cities, usually when you're short on money, sometimes the first thing that gets cut is marketing dollars.
And that has been the case in Oklahoma.
It has been. And it's frustrating to me as someone with a background in marketing. You got to market a state if you want people to come. You got to invite them if you want them to show up and spend those valuable sales tax dollars that we have or have any intention of relocating here. We got to get them here first. And so the short answer is yes, and I commend Governor Stitt, who also recognized that, hey, we need to brand the state well. We're going after a couple million dollars to launch this, and some of those dollars, I'd say the great majority of those dollars, will be advertising dollars. And we're going to micro-target and use those dollars very wisely and go into some anti-business states and some states surrounding us that we know have a whole lot of Oklahomans that would love to come home. And so that is an ongoing effort. Some years we'll have some money, some years we won't have as much money, but we will maximize every single one of those dollars and spend them very wisely.
If I can follow up on that last point, the idea that, you know, the last administration really, my opinion, decimated a lot of our tourism efforts, you know, closing state parks. the welcome centers that you are mentioning are not really run by the state. Right. Many of them, they're run by our tribes. Do you see a turnaround on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about what you're going to prioritize. I mean, you know, when we took over, when Kevin Stitt and Matt Pinnell as lieutenant governor, as I took over, we're really operating as a team as much as we can. It's really what we're going to prioritize. We didn't have a standalone secretary of tourism and branding. We didn't have a statewide elected official before we were elected that cared about welcome centers and the bathroom facilities in those welcome centers. I do. I mean, I've visited every welcome center in the state of Oklahoma to check out the state of our facilities, and they weren't great. And I think those things need to be great because I hear about how great everybody else's welcome centers are. I think ours should be a whole lot better. And so it really comes down to prioritizing those things, and we are doing that. I sit next to the governor every other week in a cabinet meeting and update him on those things. How many visitors are coming to Oklahoma? How many heads and beds do we have in our hotels? I mean, that matters a whole lot to change the perception of a state. So the good news is that it is now a priority, and certainly that means it's going to come with more resources to help fix facilities, help fix state parks. We have 100 new bathrooms going into our state parks in this fiscal year alone. We haven't put a new bathroom in a state park in a really long time, and it matters. I mean, RV sales are at an all-time high in this country. People are traveling. Baby boomers, 99% of them are going to travel next year, and they control most of all the disposable income in the entire country. They'll come to Oklahoma to see America in an RV, and they'll stay at one of our state parks if the facilities are better.
How long, I mean, you don't change perceptions overnight. It's a long process. How will this branding effort, how will subsequent efforts that the state's going to make change that perception in your view?
Well, I was sworn into office a year ago, and it's a four-year term. So I have three more years. And if my wife lets me run again, it will maybe I'll have an extra 4 years after that. We shall see. And if voters want me back as well. So on the high end, you're looking at maybe seven more years. And really the goal is here, listen, we have term limits in Oklahoma. So I have a very limited time in office, regardless of whether it's one term or two terms as lieutenant governor. I hope that this is accepted and really embraced, not just accepted, by Oklahomans so that whoever comes after me takes the baton and runs with it. Because I think we have to do that. As you said, this will not change overnight. I think we can change a whole lot in 3 years, and I think we can change a whole lot in two terms. But we need to make sure that elected officials that come after us, I hope that taxpayers in the state of Oklahoma demand from our elected officials in this state that we invest in marketing the state. Because if we do, we'll make the state a whole lot more money.
Lieutenant Governor Pinnell, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He's also the state's first Secretary of Tourism and Branding, and as a part of that office, he helped create the new state brand. Imagine that. For more information, visit oklahoma.gov. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Connie Cronley.
Every time there's a mass shooting, which is too damned often, somebody says, it's not guns, it's mental illness, which I don't believe. So I read a book about mental diseases to see what I don't know. Turns out, a lot. Turns out, I'm not alone. The book is titled Mind Fixers, which means research psychiatrists. It's written by Anne Harrington, a Harvard professor of the history of science, and it's as readable as a compelling novel and jaw-dropping in the well-intentioned blunders in the name of medical science. After Freud, psychiatrists began looking for biological causes and treatments. And oh, what a tangled quest down dead-end streets and dashed hopes. For a while, schizophrenia was attributed to bad mothers, moms who were either domineering, rejecting, or anxious. And for a while, treatment was high doses of vitamin B3, which was soon discarded. A barbaric treatment was lobotomy, invented by a man who won the Nobel Prize for it. A doctor went across the country demonstrating how to perform lobotomies, and he called it his ice pick tour. Hundreds of lobotomies were performed in Veterans Administration hospitals on World War II veterans. In the 20s and 30s, a condition called feeble-mindedness was thought to be inherited, and this led to America's dark period of eugenics with forced sterilization, and that thinking spread to Nazi Germany. Then a theory emerged that mental illness was caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain and could be treated pharmaceutically. Now, Benzedrine had been around since the 30s when a Harvard medical doctor reported it could help the shy and depressed become the life of the party. By the 40s, amphetamines were prescribed to pep up tired patients who had lost their zest for life. Soon, millions of tablets of Benzedrine and Dexedrine were consumed daily for depression and weight loss. The chemical revolution in psychiatry was in high gear by the 50s and included lithium, a miracle drug for some patients with manic depression. But until 1950, lithium was also an ingredient in the soda 7-Up. Then came tranquilizers and antidepressants and relaxed FDA regulations that allowed drug companies to market directly to patients. The psychiatric drugs market exploded with billions of dollars in sales of Prozac, Valium, Xanax, Paxil, Zoloft, Celexa, and so many more. So many we found new conditions to be treated with pharmaceuticals. Panic disorders, phobias, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and a social anxiety described in marketing as being allergic to people. Harrington's book tells us the theory of chemical imbalance is wrong. Some patients are helped by these drugs, but clinical trials show that half the time, placebos can be helpful, and so can talk therapy. New information comes in all the time. In 1973, the American Psychiatric Association voted to stop classifying homosexuality as a mental disease. But the American Society of Addiction recently announced that addictions of all kinds are a chronic brain disorder, not a behavioral problem. I came away from the book Mind Fixers with great tenderness for the millions of people who suffer mental and emotional distress, for the doctors trying to give them relief, and for the laboratory animals, especially dogs, used for research. I have none for the advertisers and marketers of pharmaceutical drugs. Bless our hearts, we keep trying. A Texas band named the Flatlanders has a song that begins, "Now that I know, everything I know is wrong." What I think is, those boys know something.
Everything that I know is wrong. Am I right if I say I didn't know that you knew all along?
Connie Cronley is a local writer, a columnist, and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.